Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and I want to thank you for making us a part of your day. Today, we're going to be talking about a very important topic. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we have two of our registered nurses that are going to be talking about the services and support which are available at our hospital for victims of sexual assault. But before we do, I have a couple of announcements that I would like to share with our listeners. First, we do want to extend congratulations to one of our visiting specialists, ophthalmologist Dr. Scallon with Wolf Eye Clinic. He is retiring after seeing patients at our hospital for 31 years. We have been doing a card shower for him. If you missed out on that, please go ahead and send your card to Van Deese Medical Center, P.O. Box 430. Here in Webster City, we will make sure that Dr. Scallon gets your card. We also want to extend a welcome to Dr. Steven Anderson, who is going to be starting to see patients as a visiting ophthalmologist, also with Wolf Eye Clinic. And he will start to see patients on May 4th. This is the last week. A quick reminder, if you or possibly you have a graduate here in Hamilton County that is looking to pursue a career in healthcare, we have a terrific scholarship opportunity. Our Van Deese Medical Center Auxiliary is extending three $1,000 scholarships for those interested in pursuing a career in healthcare. The application and information is available at our website. Go to www.vandeestmc.org. Those applications are due April 15th, so postmarked by April 15th. And we certainly hope that people take advantage of this opportunity. And then I do want to mention we had a terrific presentation. Actually, yesterday we hosted a virtual Empower Half Hour. Dr. Elise Dewey and nurse practitioner Amanda Langford presented the recommended vaccinations for infants and children. And this was actually hosted via Facebook Live. And so if you missed it, you can find it on our Facebook page. If you haven't already, like and follow our Facebook page. We have lots of terrific information and celebrations on our Facebook page. Dr. Dewey and Amanda highlighted the benefits of vaccines, those vaccines that are recommended and at which ages, why well child visits are so important, and then some methods that we have that we use to comfort children and infants when they are receiving their shots. So great information. Again, check it out on our Facebook page. And with that, I think we are going to start right into our topic for today's program. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, each April, we observe Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and this is a time that increases awareness about the causes and risk factors for sexual assault, and a time where we can empower individuals to take steps to prevent sexual violence in their communities. On our program today, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking with two of our emergency department nurses about this public health crisis and the services and support which are available here at Van Deese Medical Center for victims of sexual assault. And joining us on today's program, I am very pleased to welcome and introduce our Emergency Services Director, Christina Peterson, and registered nurse in our emergency department, Cindy Sinclair. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here with me today and talking about this very important topic. I'm going to start with you, Christina, talking about the department a little bit. And to our listeners, many may not know, you actually are a new director of our emergency services at the hospital. So I want to welcome you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. So if you would maybe start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, education, and experience.
Yeah. So I am, first of all, very excited to be part of the Van Deese Medical Center team. It has been a great experience. I joined our team in January, and it's been wonderful. A little bit about myself. I have been a nurse since 2009, I went to Ellsworth Community College for my two-year degree and then on to the University of Iowa for my four-year degree. I grew up in the rural Ackley-Wellsburg area and now currently reside in Wright County in Dallas with my husband. I have been in critical access hospitals probably the last 10 to 12 years. Started off at the bedside doing med-surg and ER nursing. And then moved into nursing leadership, have done some stuff in the academic setting, teaching for Ellsworth Community College. But ER is truly where my love lies. I kind of fell into it. A position opened up, I applied, wanted to continue to grow. And just the amazing teamwork that comes out of an ER is awesome. You get to see people at their worst, their toughest times. And to see everybody come together from the physicians to EMS to the nursing to ED techs to registration lab, the teamwork to get everybody to that next place in their healthcare journey is just awesome. So that is a little bit about me.
You know, and I am so glad that you mentioned that, Christina, because many people don't know kind of in the background what happens in an emergency department, and that there can be trauma. And like you said, when people maybe experience some of their toughest times is when we see our team at its best. And it's amazing when I think about over the years where we have had significant incidents that have involved, like you say, all departments from the hospital. Incidents that are made public in the media, and when we get through those, it everyone feels it, how everybody came together and you're working side by side, and I mean, and the outcomes are amazing for team, and we do the best for our patients. And so this really is a time to celebrate the emergency department. And we are going to be talking about one of the special services that quite often is addressed in the emergency department. Before we move into talking about those services with Cindy, maybe if you would, as director of emergency services in your role, if you could maybe tell us about the departments that you provide oversight to, and maybe just a quick highlight.
Yeah, so in my role, I support and lead our emergency department, our EMS team, and then also our cardiac rehab program. And so, you know, our cardiac rehab program is an outpatient program that supports those that have had a cardiac event or even a pulmonary event and getting them stronger and back home to live independent, healthy lifestyles. And Audrey has done amazing with that program. The EMS and ED team really work hand in hand. Our EMS supports Webster City, but also Hamilton County, and triaging with so many other area EMS teams. And they're often the first person that touches our patients when they come in the ER. And then they work side by side with our physicians and our ER nurses and caring for those acute patients. But, you know, there's also several patients that we see that maybe aren't as acutely ill, but continue to utilize our services. And so just making those connections and continuing to work as a team. So
very good. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And we certainly love having you be a part of the team here at Van Deese Medical Center. This gives us an opportunity to also have one of your staff members who, like I said, is a registered nurse in our emergency department here with us today. So good morning and welcome to you, Cindy.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. I'm going to start kind of with the same, Cindy, if you would. Let listeners know a little bit about yourself, your experience, and how long you have been an emergency registered nurse.
Okay. I have worked for the hospital since 1989. I first worked in admitting. I did that for 17 years, and watched a lot of things going on and thought, I want to do that. So while I was working in the admitting office, I went to school and became a registered nurse. I graduated in 2006, and then I went to MedSurg, and within 6 months, I was doing resource nurse, and 6 months after that, I was in the emergency room, which is where I wanted to be. And back then, they really required that you do it for 2 years, but I was so passionate that they let me in. So it has just been a really great experience, and I've been doing that for 15 years.
Awesome. Congratulations to you. What was it about the emergency department? Why there?
So when I was working at admitting, I watched many things unfold from my window because I had a window to the ER. And I just wanted that adrenaline. You know, it is, if you're an adrenaline junkie, that's something you really like to do. And I met a lot of amazing nurses that were working in the emergency room, and they were so passionate that I wanted to share that passion and move forward with that. So
I think it's terrific. It's a wonderful example of someone that started in one department and then just grew their career. And so what an inspiration to others that are listening. You know, even whether in the nursing profession or not, you did not start in the nursing profession, and yet you were able to realize your goals and be working and contributing in the emergency department today and for years. So thank you. In addition to serving as an emergency department nurse, you are also a certified sexual assault nurse examiner. And there's an acronym, SANE, S-A-N-E, SANE Nurse, that goes with that. And congratulations.
Thank you.
On this certification. This is a great time to be talking about this topic and about your certification. And so I want to spend some time highlighting this. So if you could tell us about the certification, what it means, kind of the role you serve, and really what was needed to obtain the certification.
To become a SANE nurse, you first must be a registered nurse and hold a license in that. Then to do the SANE training, the original training that I took was 53 hours long. I did it online. And then through a grant, I was able to be flown to Colorado, and I did 3 days of intense training, which included taking photographs, interviewing, because you're, as a forensic nurse, which is what a SANE nurse is, you're gathering information. You have to start from the minute you get that call that there has been an event. And so you start talking to officers, you start talking to the other nurses that got the patient there, and then you go into your patient. But we like, rather than victims, they're really survivors. So that's the kind of thing that I want to really express, is that they're not victims, they're survivors of their event.
They truly are.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to make sure that we stress the importance of this topic. So in your words, why is it so important that we're talking about sexual assault and raising awareness about this topic?
So Sexual Assault Awareness Month is really the time to draw attention to the prevalence of sexual assaults, to educate individuals that perhaps have had this happen to them, or a family member, that they can reach out to them. A lot of times, the survivors don't share their event. They keep it to themselves, and they don't move on. And so we really want to educate individuals, communities, and how they can prevent it in the future. So nearly 1 in 5 women in the United States have experienced rape or attempted rape at some time in their lives. And in the United States, 1 in 71 men have experienced rape or attempted rape. Now, with the internet, women, children, men, teens, young adults are now being coerced into being participants in sexual assaults. And they oftentimes don't know that that's what they're going for. They think it's going to be, you know, a fun time. They're just going to go meet him for coffee or whatever. And that's not how it ends up. And so that's a whole new topic that is really coming out and being investigated for, to help those people too, because that's behind the scenes and it's not seen by anyone because it's all online and, you know, it just doesn't get brought out.
You're right. And that is such a critical point that you are mentioning, because that is one of their really pushes and a strong theme for this year. Because, and this is why it's important to be talking about this. So if you believe this is not happening, it is. Social media alone and the online presence has opened this up. And so people need to be aware, need to be asking those questions. Again, like you said, a lot of times these survivors are not sharing their encounters, you know, their events that have happened. And we need to bring awareness about this topic and the importance of seeking out support and having, asking the questions, having those discussions. So critically important. Yes. So a couple questions that might come as a surprise to some of our listeners. Are most sexual assaults committed by strangers?
No, most of the time it's by someone that they do know. Usually, not always, but survivors often know the person who sexually assaults them. It could be a friend, teacher, coworker. People who are sexually abused usually target someone that they know because they see their weaknesses. They know their habits. They know what's going on in their lives. So they will target that person. A lot of time it's subtly, and the person won't even know that it's happening until it actually happens. 3 out of 4 adolescents who have been sexually assaulted were victimized by someone that they know and they know well. And 21% of those were committed by a family member.
Scary statistic.
Very scary.
It definitely is. Let's also, I want to talk about this. What is sexual coercion and how common is that?
Okay, so sexual coercion is unwanted sexual activity that happens when you're pressured, tricked, threatened, or forced in a non-physical way. Sometimes it can just be talking to a person, getting to know them, like I said, know their habits, etc. Coercion can also make you think that you owe someone sex, and it might be from someone that has power over you, like a teacher, landlord, boss. No person is ever required to have sex with someone else. 34% of women have been coerced by a male colleague, and 1 in 10 men have been coerced sometime in their lifetime.
Again, when you think about those statistics, It's really around us. I mean, really, really raises awareness about the importance of this topic. So I definitely want to make sure that we cover this. Let's talk about your role and how your role and your certification and experience as a SANE nurse has helped to support victims or survivors. Let's use survivors of sexual assault.
So my role as a SANE nurse, I'm their very first contact. Sometimes police are their first contact because they'll be called to their home or wherever the event took place, because it can take place anywhere. And it doesn't matter if it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. I've taken care of survivors at any time of the year. And you're trained to listen. Most of all, because they need to hear their story told. And a lot of times they're upset and they talk really fast, and you just need to learn to jot it all down, because that's their story. They're not usually able to write it down because their mind is racing. They can't stop and think. They can tell it, but they can't stop and think how to write it. That stops their story because they get nervous and just stop. It makes you learn to be empathetic and use an empathetic ear. But also at the same time, since you're a forensic nurse, you're gathering information from the get-go. And you start that interview right when you walk in the door. You get a visual of that person. You look at their demeanor. You look, you know, sight, sound, smell. You can, you have to take all of that in because that's going to be your story to tell for them. If you go to court, which happens, you have to be able to tell that story for them from beginning to end. So you can't leave anything out. And we also, at the same time, we call an advocate from Iowa CASA. And they're all over the state of Iowa. And ours generally come from Clarion or Fort Dodge. They're on call 24/7. And they bring things to help that person. A lot of times they'll lose their cell phone. They'll lose clothes. They have no money. They don't have a billfold. They have nothing. And so they'll bring a burner phone for them to have that they can use. They'll bring clothes for them. They bring stress balls. They have a whole bunch of things that they bring for that person to help them get through this event. And then also move forward. They help with their counseling, setting up follow-up appointments, finding them a place to stay, and just providing that support from beginning to end. And sometimes the survivor doesn't want anyone in the room with them, and that's okay too. They still stay until the very end. And eventually, most of the time, they will talk with the advocate to get that information, to get those things. So moving forward with their story, it's a more positive outcome.
So important, the information that you're sharing here. Cindy, as a SANE nurse, what information do you feel, as we're looking to kind of wrap up the program, is extremely important for all of our listeners to hear?
So I just want people to know that the survivor is never at fault. They didn't choose to be assaulted. And also that sexual assault doesn't just affect the victim. It affects their family, their work relationships, their friendships. They have feelings of guilt, shame, fear. Those are all very common feelings during this time. And it affects their daily life, and it also affects the rest of their lives because it's an event that happens, whether it be a happy or sad event. That's their event, and it's become a part of their life forever.
And for all of us just to be aware of that and how we can offer support if we know somebody that has gone through an mm-hmm. event like this.
Right.
Which does lead me to my next question, which I think is very valuable to get this information out. And you just talked about the advocates that we involve, but, you know, our goal is for our survivors to know that this specialty care is available here and there are resources available. We want those survivors to feel supported. And just in general, where can we direct sexual assault survivors if they haven't reached out maybe, or even if they have and they're still needing additional help, support, resources, what information can we share with?
So Iowa has a 24-hour victim service program. It's across the state of Iowa. It offers resources, support, counseling, and housing options, like I said before. These services are available to anyone impacted by sexual violence. It's not just the survivor. It's also the survivor's family, children, you know, whoever needs the support. Can be their friends, their family. If English is not your first language, all of the programs offered services are in different languages. Anyone can access the services from anywhere in the state, and advocates travel anywhere within their service area to meet the needs of survivors and their loved ones. Culturally specific programs are also available to provide services to historically marginalized and disenfranchised communities. anyone has the right to this service, and no matter who they are. So the Iowa Victim Service Call Center is available 24/7 for support. For further assistance or help, you can call 1-800-770-1650, or you can text Iowa Help to 20121.
Wonderful. Cindy, thank you so much for sharing this information, for your role. I mean, not only here at the hospital, but this additional certification as a SANE nurse is outstanding. And there are not predominantly a lot of nurses that really have this certification. We at Vandy's Medical Center are very fortunate. Cindy is certified. We also have a second nurse. One of our registered nurses in our inpatient department, Melissa Vaughn, is also certified as a sexual assault nurse examiner. So, again, we are very fortunate to have this service available here. I love that you're willing to talk about it, share the information, raise awareness about the topic, and keep doing the great things that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Christina, also, I want to thank you for your role here at the hospital and for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you. We have an amazing team.
Yes, we do. So thank you again to Christina and Cindy, and to our listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Focus on Health, brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, where our focus is you.